Mary Baker Eddy was more than just a revolutionary thinker, discoverer of Christian Science, founder of the Christian Science Church, and author of one of the most important religious textbooks of modern times, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Starting in her youth, well, she loved writing poetry, never gave it up. And one of her most beloved poems, set to music several times in the Christian Science hymnal, is known as Feed My Sheep. I remember as a child growing up in Christian Science, one line in particular stood out to me, still does. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. Many times I've thought about what that means, to listen for God's voice. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. On a previous episode of Sentinel Watch, we spoke with Christian Science practitioner and teacher Evan Mellenbacher. And in the course of that conversation, Evan talked about divine direction, knowing what to do. And that stood out to me. And apparently it stood out to other Sentinel Watch listeners, too. We've asked Evan to join us again to explore how we can do a better job of listening for divine direction, knowing what to do no matter the circumstances. Evan, welcome back to Sentinel Watch.
Oh, you bet, David. It's a joy.
It's a joy for me, too. And I guess it's in that joyous spirit I want to explore how we can be better at listening for God's voice, which, you know, it was interesting to hear you describe it. It almost sounded like you were saying that you heard a voice. And I think sometimes people describe it as hearing or having a thought that they know is divine inspiration. Could you again tell me when you heard God's voice, what was that like, and how are you open to that?
Oh, yeah, that is a great question. And, you know, I work hard at it. Actually, it's not easy always to hear God's voice. And so what I've learned over the years is that I can get really busy doing a whole lot of things, thinking about this, I got to do that chore, this chore, I got to run over and do this. And your mind starts getting really busy with all these human things about what you should be doing. And pretty soon I start to feel disconnected. I'm not feeling God's presence anymore. I'm feeling tense, strained, you know, rushed, pressured, and so on. And so what I've developed over the years is a rule. Anytime I start to feel like that, I need a timeout. It doesn't have to be a long timeout. It could be just a few seconds, depending. But I just need to do a timeout. And I think of that T, you know, they do in sports, you know, timeout. Stop what you're doing and regroup. And because my standard for life is to feel the peace. You know, that's just my standard, is you should always be feeling the peace of God. But it takes some work to do that, to hear that voice. And to hear that voice, so you got to get all this other clutter silenced and out of the way. And Jesus even talked about that. He said, you need to enter into the closet, which means the closet of spiritual sense, spiritual mindedness, and shut the door. To me, that means shut the door on all that clamor, all that ruckus, all that distraction, trying to grab your attention and hold it and keep you all frustrated and whatever. You know, you got to shut the door and get into this quiet place with God in the sanctuary of spirit, Mrs. Eddy says. And then as things start to settle down and your thoughts start to settle down, you start to hear the voice.
You know, when you said just then, you said sometimes it can be hard to hear God's voice. And it's not that God isn't speaking to you always. But as you were describing it, I know that I've been in a situation before where, like, I felt really kind of prayed up. You know, I've studied the lesson. I've thought a lot about the Lord's Prayer today. And then something may happen that becomes, as you were saying, a kind of distraction. And I get that sense of being taken away out of that sort of that embrace. And of course, I know at one level I'm not, but this distraction sometimes seems to come when we least expect it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Things catching us off guard. The surprises. Oh, my gosh. Where did that come from? Yeah. I thought I was doing everything right.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You know, Yeah, I mean, it's like I was driving my car through this little town called Touchy once, and I had my son over in the other seat, and he was asleep. He was probably 8 or so, you know, and I'm just driving down the highway and following the speed limit and everything. And this guy coming the other direction, he turns left in front of me and rams right into my car. I'm like, whoa. Oh my gosh, where did that come from? You know, mm-hmm. It's things like that catch us by surprise, I think you're talking about. And I didn't do anything wrong, you know. How did that happen to me? And, well, things happen. So a rule I like to keep in mind, though, ahead of time, sort of do some preemptive praying about that kind of thing, is to know that something good is happening all the time. God is always there watching out for you. And so even when things go wrong, God's help is there to pull you right back out of it, get back on your feet, you know, and get moving again. So I think it's part of where Jesus said, be wise as serpents. You know, when he got his students ready to send them out into the world, he wasn't naive about what they were going to face out there. And he taught them all the good stuff, you know, how to pray and look for the good and love their neighbor and all that. But he said, but you know, things aren't always going to go so rosy for you. You need to be wise as serpents. There's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. You need to see through that kind of stuff. And don't be naive. That's the way I read that. And so it's just a part of our everyday prayer is to defend ourselves from this stuff by remembering God is in charge here. God is in control. I always have God to lean on and pull me out of any situation I ever get into. And we're going to get on top of it. So when those things happen, you're already ready to jump there, to go there, to lean on God and find the solution to the problem that you're facing. So I guess you're already sort of listening for God's direction before it happens. You know that it's there. You know the voice is there to find in times of need like that, that you're not going to get swallowed up by the problem of the moment. God's help is always at hand.
Do you remember what Mrs. Eddy says about angel thoughts? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. In the Glossary in Science and Health, angels, she defines as God's thoughts passing to man. They're not things with wings flying through the sky, but literally ideas coming to us. And they're God's helpers. They're our helpers. You know, yeah, it's right. God's help coming to us in a way that makes sense. And prayer is often about listening, just settling thought down and listening for those angel thoughts to come our way to inspire our thought with the solutions and the answers we need to solve the problem at the moment. And trust, always trust that they're there. They're always there. You were talking about we get busy with our day. Sometimes we're not sure God's help is there. And that's a matter of, you know, what we're listening to at the moment. I like to just take it as a fact. God is always with me. It's like I'm at one with God like water and wet, like a circle is round. You can't separate yourself from God, your father, mother. God is always with you. And so that help is always with you, which means his voice is always there to hear. But, okay, so the question comes, well, I can't hear it. No, I don't hear it.
Right.
I hear this often in my practice. You know, people every day, I can't hear God's voice. And so what's helpful to remember there is that the voice is there. It's a matter of what are we listening to? Who are we listening to? So let's say you're at a dinner of, say, 8 people, 8 adults around a big dinner table, and there's 3 different conversations going on at the same time. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
3 talky people, and they're all talking about different things. And so you're sort of listening. You're going, oh, geez, who am I going to listen to? Well, that's interesting over there. That's interesting over there. But you really can't listen to all 3 conversations at the same time. You've got to make up your mind, this is where I'm going to put my attention. And so you just zero in on, you know, the person you want to listen to. And you're sort of aware of the other conversations. But to really digest what's going on, you've got to focus on what that person is saying. And you can do that. You have the ability to do that, to just zero in on the conversation you want to participate in. Well, the same is true with our consciousness. At times, it might seem like there's many different conversations going on all at once in our mind. Mm-hmm. A neighbor's opinion, you know, your spouse's point of view, your kids telling you what you want,
all this different
stuff, pleasing my boss, you know, fear, frustration, all these different conversations going on in our thought. And we feel like we're pulled in 8 different directions. But just remember, no, I have the ability to zero in on the conversation I want to listen to. And we do that through spiritual sense. All of us have spiritual sense. As a child of God, each and every one of us have spiritual sense, which is our ability to zero in on what God is saying to us and to hear it.
What do you do if, as you were describing, you know, you've heard people in your practice say, I've been listening, but I don't feel like I'm hearing God. And I think this comes up when we pray. We feel like we're sort of turning over our concerns or our fears to God. Are we talking to God? Is God listening to us? That's something that sometimes comes up when people say, I'm not feeling that closeness. I'm not hearing God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I have to be honest with you. There's times when I start into a prayer and I don't know where I'm going with this. There might be a lot of confusing issues. There might be a lot of uncertainties, a lot of fears, a lot of doubts. You may be even worried yourself, you know, about, I don't know how this is all going to end up. And but don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. And so I have this prayer goal in mind, really, for every prayer that I do, that I want to end up at a place of peace. That's sort of my standard. I call it feeling the peace. Mm-hmm. And for me, that means feeling the peace of God. And you just know it when you're there. You do.
It is like feeling a presence, isn't it? I mean, it's like, and you were quite right. It's one of those things my parents used to say, you'll know it when you see it, or you know it when you find it. But in a very real sense, when we're praying and we know that God is there, that presence is palpable. It's real. I can't think of a better word than the presence, you know. There's, of course, that hymn, O Gentle Presence, Peace and Joy and Power. And sometimes people do feel that overwhelming sense of peace and that joy that's dawning on the horizon and that sense of power rising up above all the noise, as you were describing it.
Absolutely. So set that as your standard, okay? But in the midst of turmoil, it might feel like it's a long way off. But keep working at it. Keep sorting out the right from the wrong, the truth from the error, the fear from the love in consciousness. You know, whatever you're facing, keep sorting it out until you arrive. I have this visual of a machete in the Amazon jungle, you know, mm-hmm. you know how mm-hmm. tangled mm-hmm. up everything is in the Amazon jungle. Yeah. There's vines everywhere and you can't get, so you get out your machete and you start whack, 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 you know,
yeah,
and you whack your a pathway to an opening. Well, sometimes prayer is like that. We got to get out our machete of truth and start whacking away the fears, the doubts, the beliefs that are causing us to feel separated from God. And turning them around with what you know to be true about God until things start to settle down. And they will. I guarantee it. It always works. You just faithfully keep hoeing away with the truth there. And eventually you come to an opening and things start to settle down. And you may still feel like you're a long way from healing, but you're a whole lot closer. But that's when you start to hear God's voice. You know, when things are starting to settle down and the human fears, human will, human emotions are fading away into the background, calm is starting to take over, and the skies are starting to turn a little bluer here, you know, and then the voice is there. You know, we have this wonderful story in the Old Testament about the still small voice, right? You have Elijah, who's a great prophet, and he was forlorn. He did great things, but he was hated by his enemies and pursued. And he's like, I just want to give up and quit. And God wasn't going to let him. God had more work for him to do, and God was teaching him some lessons about things. And one of the lessons was, I'm not here in the big material things that you see going on all around you. So he took Elijah up to the top of a mountain, and there was a big wind and a big earthquake and a big fire, you know, big commotions from a material point of view, but God wasn't in any of those things. And then after all the big wind and the earthquake and fire, there's this still, small voice. It was God's voice. That's what Elijah heard. And so that's what we're looking for when we're praying. You know, oftentimes is get past the wind, get past the earthquake, get past the fire. You know, those aren't where you want to be focusing your attention. Just don't give power to matter. Let your thoughts settle into the omnipresence of God, the omnipresence of love, the omnipresence of spirit. And there you will find that still, small voice of truth and love speaking to you. And you'll hear what you need to hear.
And this is not just for emergency situations. Someone that needs to make a decision or feels like they need to make a decision, say on a move to some place or a job offer or something like that. That's still available to you. That's open to you to listen for that still small voice. But it seems to me to require that closet you were making reference to earlier, getting everything still.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. You know, some people think, oh, I got to pray for hours, you know. It's not true. It can be done in a few seconds, maybe a couple of minutes. You know, maybe you're busy at work and, you know, things are getting out of control. Just do a little time out. Forget about time. Just check out. Just shut the material senses down. Let your thought go, whoop, you know, right up to God. And just listen for a moment. Just remember the truth. God is here. God is in control. He loves me. He cares for me. He's giving me what I need. I can hear it. It's coming to me now. And you just sort of learn to live your whole life that way. And it's amazing how, you know, you might do it several times during the day. You know, your little checkout times where you just need to get touched back to God again.
Oh, I really appreciate you taking time for this Sentinel Watch Extra, Evan. This was really, really helpful for me. And it's not always listening for a voice per se, like you would hear a material voice. It can be looking to good and following that direction of good, confident and happy, joyous, that you are on the right path. That can be a way that God speaks to us too, right?
Oh, definitely. They can be intuitions, impressions, just feelings. It could be a neighbor telling you a good idea. You know, God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways, but you'll know it when it comes, and then it will translate into the proper human form that meets the need of the moment.
Evan Mellenbacher is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Richland, Washington. Evan, thanks so much for joining us again on Sentinel Watch. Always great to talk with you.
You bet. Thank you, David.
Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Richmond, the executive producer of Sentinel Watch. As David indicated in this episode, he was following up with Evan about some comments he'd originally made in a previous podcast. And while we really love this whole discussion, Evan thought that it needed one extra component, a healing. And our team agreed. So we asked Evan back. Evan, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, Amy, it's great to come back here.
Well, we are really happy that you're here and excited to hear this healing that you want to share with us.
Yeah, it's great to do a circle around here and bring a story into all these ideas that we've shared about listening for God's voice and how to hear God's direction better. As I was thinking it through, I thought one of the biggest testing times for me in my life in trying to discern where is God taking me here and how can I faithfully follow what I think God is telling me to do was my early decision in life about what career to pursue. back when I was a college student, you know, I was going through college and having a great, great experience there in college. But as graduation neared, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life here. I got to find a job. I got to pay the bills and, you know, right, get with it. And I was having a very difficult time deciding what path to pursue. Now, in the context of what we've been talking about, hearing God's direction, I had been told many years earlier than college what I was supposed to do with my life. I really was. As a youngster, I just knew I wanted to be a practitioner of Christian Science, you know, wow, someday. That just was always in me. That definitely is where I'm headed. And I heard that at a very young age, but it all got suppressed, you know. Oh yeah, right, you know, maybe when I'm 65 or something like that. That's where I'd catalog that into my mind. So here I'm at college age trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills and so on? And I had options. There was lots of options, but every option I pursued, I thought, okay, well, I could do that job. But in 6 months, I'm going to be bored of it and I'm going to want to do something else. And that's the path I kept going down. All the while, though, there was this little voice still behind in the background of my thigh, Evan, you know what you really want to do? Is to be out there helping and healing people with your understanding of God, you know, loving them with the truth. But looking back, what was going on in my mind was there were all these other competing voices saying, no, you can't do that. That's not realistic. You're not ready to do that. And those voices overwhelmed what I was hearing from God. And eventually I settled. I decided, well, you know, I grew up on a farm, a family farm. My dad was a successful farmer. He was very good at what he does. And I thought, well, I know that. I'll just go back home. Dad loves me and he'll just pull me into the management of the farm. You know, life will be great. I'll just be a farmer. That's what I decided to do. So Dad was thrilled to have me say that and come back home. And so, you know, I left college, off to home I went and settled in. And Dad and I got along great, you know, and we were going to be a very successful team together there on the ranch, no doubt about it. But after a couple of years went by, it was very apparent to me, I'm just not in my right place. And I was praying about this every single day because there was still this voice in the background of thought. And it was God speaking to me. It was the voice of God saying, Evan, this is my plan for your life. And I thought a lot about that. And I thought, Mrs. Eddy has this statement about honesty is spiritual power.
Right.
And honesty is spiritual power. I thought, I need to be honest about who I am, what I'm all about here, and not try to be something I'm not, which is what I was doing. I was trying to be something right. I wasn't. I was good at farming. There was no problem there, but it wasn't me. I wasn't being honest with what God was telling me to do. And that started to kindle up within me. And after about 2 years, I hadn't totally figured out exactly how to get to my right place, but I still was willing to trust God's direction enough that one day I was out pruning plum trees with my dad. It was just Dad and me. And so I just blurted it out. I said, Dad, you know, I don't really think this farm is the right place for me to be. Oh my gosh. He got really mad.
I was wondering about that. You had a plan and now you were changing it.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it just caught him totally by surprise, although he should have sort of saw it coming. You know, it's not like I hid everything.
Right, right.
But he had this vision really strong in his mind about me taking over the farm. That was just, you know, the big deal. And he got really mad. And it wasn't like he was mad at me. He was just mad at the whole idea of losing me and everything falling apart. And it was quite a scene. And it took me by surprise. I was actually sort of shocked by it all. I didn't know what to say. I said nothing, you know. We just didn't say anything more about it and just let it go. But over the next couple of days, as I was praying about it, I didn't know how to handle it. I just didn't know what to do. And so I just retracted. You know, a couple of days later, I said, oh, Dad, just forget it. Forget what I said. And I'm fine. You know, we'll just keep going here and life as usual. Yeah. And he said, okay, good. He was done talking about it. but it was not good for me inside.
Yeah.
And so this is where I was really starting to learn major spiritual lessons. And this all ties back to hearing God's direction and following through. My message being that often we hear what God is telling us to do. And I think each and every person listening to this broadcast can think of times in your life when you knew what the right thing was to do, but you weren't willing to do it yet.
Right.
You let all these other competing voices come in and get you distracted, detoured, discouraged, maybe frustrated, maybe despondent. And this is what I was going through. So I was learning through experience here the importance of, yes, God is talking to you. God is always talking to us. God loves us. God is our Father, Mother. He's always right there with us, always, no matter where we are in this world, no matter what kind of life experience we're going through. God is right there speaking right to us. And, you know, maybe it's just little whisperings into our ears. Sometimes it's big, loud, you know, in our face.
Right.
But he is talking to us. Trust that. Always trust that. But the lesson I learned was you got to shut down all the competition to that voice, because the world has a lot to say about what it wants us to do.
Had you told him that you wanted to be a practitioner?
No.
No.
That would have been worse.
Oh.
He would not. My mom would have understood, but not my dad.
Okay.
He's, you know, he was a very successful businessman. And
yes,
that's sort of the way he saw the world. I mean, he was spiritual and he believed in God. He did not practice my faith. You know, we had two different faiths there. And
okay,
he would not have understood leaving all of this. You know, he would open his arms, all this, you know, the acreage and the orchards and everything, to go do some nebulous thing of, you know, really, you know, he would not
right
be able to compute that. So
right,
I couldn't go there with him on that subject. But another truth that saved me was, in Christian Science, we have this clear teaching that there's one mind. God is mind. And this universe belongs to God. There's really one mind at work in this universe that ties everything together, that unites all of us in one harmonious whole. And that includes all of God's children. And my dad was a child of God. I was a child of God. So we truly, as children of God, had one mind. And so what occurred to me was that as I found peace with what God was telling me to do, Dad had the same mind that I did. He could find peace with it too. I did not have to figure out how that was going to humanly happen. That wasn't my job. I just needed to understand the spiritual truth. So as far as that blow up was concerned, I did not hold that against my dad at all. And I wasn't mad at him for doing that. It just was very arresting to me. And what it really said to me was, Evan, you still have a lot more to figure out.
Yeah.
The reason that happened was because you still are not sure about where your right place is. And you weren't able to express that in a way that was convincing.
That shows some humility.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't place any blame on him or anybody else. This was all about me taking responsibility for my own life, for my own decisions, and faithfully following where God was taking me and trusting that God could get me there. And so that's how I found my peace about my dad. So I let Dad go. He was not the issue here. He was not standing in my way of moving ahead with my life. I was very clear on that at this point. So the next big issue, though, was how to pay the bills, because that was really scary for me, you know, just leaving this job where I had a guaranteed income, well, sort of, you know, farming, but at least there was land out there to produce another crop next year.
Right.
But this idea of supply and paying the bills. And so where I went there was, okay, if God gives me an idea, he doesn't just give me an idea and then wait to see if I can figure it out. He sees that idea all the way to fruition. God sees all the way. So he knows how that idea can bear out in my life and bear fruit. And he will be there every step of the way to ensure I have everything I need to follow through with what he wants me to do. I had to learn to trust that. One of my favorite passages to go to was Mary Baker Eddy wrote in a book called Miscellaneous Writings. She says, God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supplies. Never ask for tomorrow. It is enough that divine love is an ever-present help. And if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. I mean, I just lived with that. I thought, okay, if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. So basically, the next 3 years, I had a lot of growing here to experience in my own trusting God's ability to supply the idea that he gave me. And so my trust began to build, and I really got to the point where I don't care what happens to me in the world. This is where I belong. If I'm sleeping in a tent out in the park on the Columbia River and that's all I have in the world, I don't care.
Wow.
It does not matter. I can walk away from this without fear. This is what I am supposed to do. And at that point, I was able to sit down with my dad, and it was in the office, and I just said, Dad, this really isn't my right place. I really, you know, need to be moving on to something else. And this time, he just listened. He just listened.
Wow.
And he accepted it, really without any comment at all.
And don't you think that's a testament to your understanding that he had the same mind that you had?
Yes, that we really were of one mind. But I had to get that figured out and understood in order to demonstrate it. I mean, I can tangibly feel myself in that office right now, you know, just having that conversation with him. It was just a pure demonstration of the one mind. I was just saying what I understood to be true. I wasn't unsure about it anymore. I wasn't wishy-washy about it. I wasn't worried about my future. I had complete peace in me that this is what God was leading me to do. This is what I needed to do. I would be okay. And I was able to express that to my dad, and he accepted it. And so we came up with a plan for me to work off the farm, you know, over the next year. I didn't just, you know, leave.
Right.
You know, we did a very nice, graceful transition. And he went on to prosper, you know, after I left. You know, that's a whole nother story. But he did just fine. And
that's
I just
great.
Gracefully moved out of there.
Yeah, it's that old thing of whatever blesses one, blesses all, you know?
Yeah.
That he couldn't be hurt by you moving on and doing your right activity.
And isn't that a part of God's plan too?
Yeah.
When God tells us to do something, if other people are affected by our decision, certainly we can include that in our prayer to know, well, God's providing for them too.
Right.
Because God doesn't just, you know, think about some of us. He thinks about everybody. And so there's enough love to go around for everybody. God just has the big picture all figured out.
And right.
We need to learn to trust that big picture.
So speaking about that big picture, there's something that I want to make sure that we clarify. And that is, you know, you were really sure that what God wanted you to do was to become a Christian Science practitioner, which certainly is a wonderful profession because it blesses so many, including yourself. But does God have a specific plan for each of us? Does he have like a master plan there?
Well, he does, but it's not a plan that the human mind can chart out in a material way. It's a spiritual plan. It's one that is probably best defined in terms of the spiritual qualities that we reflect of God, that the life God has planned out for us is a life of expressing love and intelligence and wisdom and creativity and ability and helpfulness and care and usefulness. Now, how that shows up for each of us humanly, that's different for you, for me. We all hear that a little differently and express that a little differently. But that's the direction God is taking us. He's always taking us in a spiritual direction of how to express the love and truth of God more as a child of God. And for me, what I heard was, Evan, you're headed toward the practice of Christian Science. That's how it unfolded for me. But it could unfold differently for you or for anybody else who has their own unique way of expressing God. I mean, I have like artist friends. They're geniuses at the art they do. That's their way of expressing God. They're living true to their light. And, right. You know, it could be said of a businessman. That's their niche. You know, they've got that management thing figured out, and they're expressing the management abilities of divine mind in their own wonderful, beautiful way and blessing the world through that. So everybody has their own unique way of expressing God. And we all just need to be true to where God is leading us, and basically be honest.
Right.
Another valuable truth for me at the time was be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Yeah. And you know who that self is if you're honest.
Yeah. Evan, you know, this is so great. I mean, clearly you had a lot of lessons to learn before it was the right time for you to go into the practice. It's not always like that. I mean, when we hear God, it can be so quick and decisive and we move forward. But I do like how you show that even if you're not quite ready, you can still listen to God and you were still getting answers in the interim.
Right. You got to be patient. You can't force these things through human will because that leads to bad consequences.
Right.
Through the grace of God, I am what I am. So truly trust that grace of God to lead you through whatever lessons you need to learn to get to where you know God is taking you. For me, it took several years. It really did.
Right.
I just had a lot to learn and a lot to get figured out. You can't focus on the timing, the years, or the days. That's just irrelevant.
Right. And probably the lessons that you learned supported your healing practice.
Absolutely. It prepared me for the practice.
Right.
That's what I learned later. Years later, I thought, you know, there were some miserable moments during those years when I was trying to get this figured out. I mean, some really tough times. But later I realized I was learning valuable lessons there that prepared me for what was to come. And that suddenly shed all of it in a really positive light. We're learning valuable moral spiritual lessons that take us to a better place, that fortify the foundation of truth we're standing on and give us the ability to stand in the face of the whatever storms mortal mind throws at us and stare at them fearlessly, you know, and see it through. So yeah, when we're going through a trial, it's tempting to feel sorry for ourselves and woe me and oh my gosh, my world's all falling apart and this is awful, you know. And
I want it over.
I mean, we all know those feelings, right?
Right.
But if you can, you know, look above it just a moment and say, wait a minute, I'm learning something super helpful here. God is teaching me something really significant that enables me to see the unreality of evil and the reality of good better than ever before, taking me to a better place. There is only blessing coming out of this for me. That'll help you get through it and maybe even faster.
That's so great. You know, Evan, what I love about this story is that it proves that you have the chops to talk about listening to God, because you really learned a lot about listening to God in these 5 years.
Yeah, for sure. And I should cap it off by saying it was the right decision. You know, God had been leading me where I belonged all along. And I've been doing it for, you know, 40 or more years since. And I am just one of the happiest guys on earth. I just really am.
That's so,
I just love what I do.
Yeah. Well, it's clear. And well, we're really grateful that you listened and that your father felt a sense of peace and that it all worked out.
Yes. Thank you very much. God knows what he's talking about. You can trust it.
Exactly. That's great. Evan, thank you so much for coming back and talking to us and sharing this healing experience. It's really great.
Thank you, Amy. You bet.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telsho. Our editor is Lisa Rennie Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.